the Svarim bring down the connection between the end of last week's Sedra, Hayom La'asosam, and the beginning of this week's Sedra, V'hoya Ekev, to hint to that which Chazal say, Hayom La'asosam, U'mochor L'kabel Svarim. Today you do the mitzvahs, and tomorrow, meaning in the world to come, you get the reward. Olam Hazeh is compared to a prozdor, a preparation room, Bifnei Ha'olam Haba, which is compared to the castle. Prepare yourself in the preparation room, in order they should be able to get to the castle. The Medrash in Koheles Rabbah, on the Pasuk, Me'uvas lo yuchal liskon. There are things in this world that are distorted and bent and never can be corrected. And there the Medrash says the following. There were two Rishoyim, two criminals that were partners in crime their whole life. They robbed, they murdered together. One of them died and he went to Gehenna. Time after that, he sees them escorting the soul of his partner into Gan Eden. So he asks the Malach, what's going on? Why is my partner in Gan Eden and I'm in Gehenna? Whatever I did, he did. So the angel explains to him that he died suddenly, dropped dead in the middle of the street, and nobody wanted to bury him. They left his body unburied for 3 days until somebody benevolently kicked his body into a hole in the side of the road. When his partner saw that, he began to think, do I want this to be the way that I end my life? And he rethought his entire life and did tshuva and died a repentant man. And therefore he's in Gan Eden and you're in Gehenna. So the man said, that's great, I'm willing to do tshuva. So just tell me what to say and get me out of here. The angel said to him, it's a little late. Don't you know the world you came from is like Erev Shabbos, like Friday. And the world you're in now is like Shabbos. If someone prepares his meals Erev Shabbos, he has what to eat on Shabbos. But you prepared nothing. Now it's Shabbos and now you want to begin to prepare? There's no time and there's no way to prepare now on Shabbos for Shabbos. And don't you know, the angel continued, that the world you came from is like the dry land, and the world you're in now is like the sea. If you prepare your supplies and you supply your boat on the dry land, then when you set sail and you're in the middle of the ocean, you have what to eat. But you didn't supply your boat. You set sail with an empty boat. Now there's no supermarkets in the middle of the ocean to be able to get those supplies. And don't you know, said the angel, that the world you came from is like the city, and the world you're in now is like the desert. If you prepare your supplies in the city, you can survive the desert, but you can't get that survival kit in the middle of the desert itself. Now you're in the desert, and there's no place to get that survival kit. So the man realizes that it's too late, there's nothing that he can do to correct the distorted situation, and he bemoans his fate. Two questions bothered me about this medrash, which I've answered in a different way in the past. Today we'll give a different answer. One, why didn't the angel quote to him the mission in Pirkei Avos, that this world is like a preparation room to a castle? Prepare yourself in the preparation room in order that you go into the castle. You didn't prepare yourself in the preparation room, therefore you can't get into the castle. Why did he give him three other allegories and not the one that's mentioned in Pirkei Avos? And secondly, why was it necessary to give him three allegories? I'm sure the person already got the message after the first one. Meir Migdal, my mechutin, once said to me that that's what Gehenna is, listening to extra long drushes that aren't necessary. But as a Rav, I don't really accept that explanation. So why, Taka, did he give him three allegories that basically say the same thing in different words? Perhaps the answer is the following. The beginning of this week's Sedra, the Tur al HaTorah, brings down three different meanings of the word Ekev. One, Ekev means basof, in the end. Just like the heel is the end of the person, and the head is the beginning. So whenever you want to say beginning, you say head, and when you say end, you say heel. Second meaning is Chelef. That's what the Targum says. In place of. In turn, compensation, as a cause, as a result of this cause. V'hoya ekev tishmun, as a result of your keeping the mitzvahs, you will be rewarded and be compensated. The third is what Rashi says. Ekev hints to the mitzvahs kalos, the light mitzvahs that people tread underfoot. If you keep those mitzvahs, then in the end you will merit the world to come and all of the brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give in this world. There are three concepts when it comes to using this world as the place to prepare and create the world to come. Firstly, it's possible that every single thing that a person does in this world, all the physical material things, if you do them properly, you do them for a holy purpose and for the sake of Olam Haba, that they create themselves a connection to God, and all of them become a way of connecting and cleaving to God and to godliness. And that is becomes a person's connection to God eternally. And that's what Chazal say on the pasuk, "Bechol drochecho do'ehu." Every way, everything that you do should bring you closer to connect into God, do'ehu, to know Him and to cleave to Him. And that's how you eat and how you sleep and how you drink. Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. And in that way, a person creates a holy neshama that is godlike and that already has that tremendous connection to God through every physical thing that he does in this world, which creates his connection to God and his being godlike, which is in fact his Olam Haba. It's not that he's getting rewarded for what he did in this world. He is exchanging what he does in this world, creating Olam Haba. The Olam Haba is the fruit of this world. You plant the seeds here and you benefit the fruit there. And that's compared to the allegory of Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, you cook up a meal, which if you eat it on Erev Shabbos, remains a plain, ordinary physical meal. But if you save that same meal for Shabbos, the meal is elevated and becomes a very spiritual thing, which you makayim the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, Reichel Nodeth. It becomes a more spiritual meal, and becomes a means of connecting into and having pleasure with God, the pleasure of the Shabbos of Olam Haba. Same thing, in this world we prepare many physical material things that if we leave them for this world alone, they remain like that. But if we do them for the sake of Olam Haba, then they accompany us to Olam Haba, those physical things that created those connection to God in this world, and that connection transcends this world and becomes our Olam Haba. And that is exactly what happened with the man. The man, had we eaten it on Erev Shabbos, would have been just the plain man of the whole week. The fact that you saved it for Shabbos elevated that man and made it something more spiritual. And the Netziv says that not only could you save Shabbos' portion for Shabbos, you could save Friday's portion too and turn it into Shabbos Dikim Man. So that is the first allegory. That represents the idea of time. Time of this world is the time to take the material, physical things and transform them into something that in the proper time, in the time of Olam Haba, will be those things that connect you to God and make you more godly, and that is Olam Haba. Tzadikim Yoshvin, V'nehenim Miziv Hashchina, because we have that closeness and that similarity to God Himself. That reflects the meaning of Ekev, of mitzvahs kalos. What are mitzvahs kalos? What are light mitzvahs? We know that there is no light and heavy mitzvahs. All mitzvahs are heavy. But we're talking about the material things that a person does in this world that aren't specific mitzvahs. Inyanei reshus, that a person can change them into a mitzvah. They're mitzvahs kalos. You can transform them to a mitzvah by doing them with the right intention. And many people tread them underfoot. They only make use of them in a physical material way, which is represented by the foot. But if you elevate them with your head and you make them something that is used for the sake of holiness, then they themselves become means of connecting you to Hashem and making you more like Hashem. So by doing those mitzvos kalos, that's how you will create your Olam Haba. The Mesillas Yesharim says another aspect. Since Olam Haba is Dveikus Vashem, it's the perfection of the person to be able to be one with God. So that perfection can only be perfection if it's perfect. And therefore, and the means of doing that is mitzvahs. So Dikdukei HaMitzvahs, being very careful and picayune with every detail of a mitzvah to make it perfect, translates into the perfection of a person in the future. And the more imperfect the mitzvah is, the more imperfect one's perfection is in Olam Haba. So therefore, even the seemingly insignificant details of the mitzvah become important if we're looking at the idea of a person reaching perfection in connecting into God and being godlike. There is, however, a second idea in Olam Haba, and that is on a lower level. And that is that a person does not sanctify his entire being and connect into God and be totally godlike. He has those sections of his life which are physical, material, temporal for this world, but he does mitzvahs. And he doesn't do averis. And he'll get rewarded for his mitzvahs and averis, and the Olam Haba will be his reward. It's not the same lofty level of the first person who is totally dovek b'Hashem, who totally connects himself to the Rabban Shem, and every single thing he does, his Olam Haba is a much more significant Olam Haba. But it's a reward that a person will get in the world to come for doing Ratzon Hashem, for doing God's commands. The Netziv in Hemek Dover, in Hemek Shela, Meshiv Dover, excuse me, in his Tshuvas, Meshiv Dover, explains that the concept of right, left, center only applies in Yiddishkeit in this aspect. Right means somebody who goes beyond the letter of the law, not just does mitzvahs and not do averas, but totally is dovek b'Hashem, like a prophet. That's the highest level. And then there's the average level, and then there's Rahman al-Islam, people who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing altogether. So here is more like the allegory of the boat. You have to take things from this world that you can't get in the next world. You have to transport them from place to place. This is the place of Torah and mitzvahs. If you have those Torah and mitzvahs in the world to come, you'll get rewarded. You'll be able to have an existence in the world to come that comes from Torah and mitzvahs. So you have to transport your Torah and mitzvahs from this world to the next world. That's like the boat. And that's the place. This is the place, and that corresponds to the meaning of Ekev in return, reward, compensation. If you will do mitzvahs in this world, you'll be compensated and rewarded for them in the world to come. The third idea is that if you don't do either of these two things, you don't make your neshama godlike and connect into God, and you don't have Torah and mitzvahs that will give you reward in the next world, then the world to come itself will be a Gehenna for you. And it will be a place where you are not like Hashem and you're in His presence. That is a tremendous pain. And you are a physical being, and when you get to a spiritual place, being in a spiritual place is in itself a pain. Right? It's similar to what they call Chibut HaKever. Chibut HaKever is the more that a neshama is not connected to God, not involved with spiritual things, and has to leave this world. So it's like pulling the neshama, like pulling wool through thorns. That's how hard it is to separate the neshama from the physical world. And that is the pain of Chibut HaKever. And what can be compared to is a person who has no connection to anything spiritual, nothing intellectual. He's a boor who is only interested in eating, drinking, and having physical pleasure. And you put him into a yeshiva, into a shir, to him it's going to be Gehenna. And yet to the other people who appreciate spirituality, who appreciate chokhmah, to them it's Gan Eden. And that's the third allegory. It's like a person going into the desert without a survival kit. If you have the survival kit, the desert can be an interesting place. It can be a place that you use in a very positive way. But if you don't have the survival kit, then the desert itself is a Gehenna for you. So too, if you don't have Torah and mitzvahs, and you don't have a neshama that has a connection to God, then a spiritual, then being in Gan Eden, being in Olam Haba is going to be in Gehenna for you. And that corresponds to the meaning of Ekev Sof, the end. If you want Olam Haba to be a good end, if you want to come to a good end, then you're going to need to supply yourself with a survival kit of Torah and mitzvahs, and of connection and dveikus b'Hashem, in order to make Olam Haba a place of pleasure and not, rachmana litzlan, a place of tremendous pain and suffering. And therefore the angel told him very graphically why he was in Gehenna, because he didn't have that connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam that is Bechol Drochecha Do'ehu, like Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. He didn't even have the Torah and Mitzvahs that can be rewarded and give him Olam Haba. And therefore, he was like the person who's in the desert without the survival kit. For him, the Olam Haba was Gehenna. And what it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, comparing Olam Hazeh to a prosdor, a preparation room to a castle, includes all of these ideas. The angel only gave him the three allegories to explain what it means in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. That is the concept of the preparation room. Because some people prepare themselves in the preparation room to be people who are fit to serve in the castle, to be royal people. And those royal people, when they go in the castle, are royalty. And the castle for them is a tremendously positive place. There are people who don't prepare in the preparation room to be royalty, but they prepare to be able to be guests who can visit the castle and who can feel at home in the castle. And they are prepared properly that they fit in to the regal appearance of the people in the castle. They are not the royalty themselves, but at least they're welcome guests. They fit in. Those are the kinds of people that have Torah and mitzvahs. They can fit into the castle. But someone who doesn't prepare himself, he's not royalty. And he's not fit to be in the castle. Then first of all, he himself, if he's in the castle, is going to feel very self-conscious and very out of place. And not only that, but he's going to be punished for entering the castle in a way that is non-befitting to the king. So the castle, being in the castle itself, is going to be for him a very negative, detrimental thing. Had he been somewhere else, it would have been better. But being in the castle unprepared is in itself a source of pain and suffering and punishment and feeling out of place. Let us strengthen ourselves to use this world as a preparation room to a castle in all of its ramifications, so that we can transform the things of this world into those things that bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and transform our neshamas into being more godlike, to supply our boat with the maximum of Torah and mitzvahs, in order that when we get to the castle, we are not out of place. We are royalty itself, and the castle itself for us is Gan Eden, Olam Haba, and not, rachmana litzlan, a desolate desert.